Spider-Man turned 6 years old this week. I saw that news and I thought he was older. You know, I don't know why, but 1962 is when Stan Lee and Steve Ditko created him, and I think that's kind of appropriate. It's there's some news later about, I guess, they're going to re-release No Way Home in theaters for the 60th anniversary, but arguably Marvel's most iconic character. Wouldn't y'all guys agree?
Yeah.
I think you could argue that.
I mean, you know, you ask most people to name three superheroes, a lot of them are going to name Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man. You know, I think that's, you might get some girls that might say Wonder Woman, and that's fair, you know, but I would argue those three or four are the top. And of course, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman have all been around a little bit longer, as DC actually started up almost 20 years before Marvel really got going. But, you know, definitely an iconic character, part of pop culture, hugely successful film last year in the MCU, and a great character. You know, I think Spider-Man is one of those guys that I think he does so well because everyone can relate to him in some way. And I think that's important with superheroes, is sometimes for them to be relatable, which is, you know, and they don't always
have to be relatable. That's what Stan Lee wanted, yeah. You know, with Spider-Man and the mutants. They wanted these superheroes with regular problems because they felt like, you know, creations like Superman, where you're an alien from another planet and you're indestructible, you know, they felt like they couldn't relate to him because, you know, you're invincible. Mm-hmm. But you have these guys, you know, Peter Parker, you know, you've got these problems at home, and you got to deal with school. People relate to that, and, you know, makes you a little bit more likable.
Yeah, absolutely. And a great character that Stan Lee and Steve Ditko gave us. And, one of my favorites. I mean, it's definitely, I enjoy the Spider-Man films, and there's some, you know, even like Spider-Man 3, it's not as well received, or Amazing Spider-Man 2. There is something I generally like in all of them, and I think it's just a sign of a great character, and really have enjoyed seeing him in MCU, and hopefully Sony and Marvel continue to work that out as we get more adventures of Spider-Man. But this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long.
And how have you fellas been this week? I know me and Matt have been off work and enjoying our time off. Long, have you been suffering while we've been off?
No, I'm enjoying my new job.
That's good, man. That's good.
That's good, man.
You were about ready. There were times for your old job, man, you would get on here and, you know, you'd vent some to us about ready to rip some heads off some motherfuckers. So I'm glad that you're enjoying the new job. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because evil Dr. Tran scares me sometimes, you know, and I like it when he's, I like Zen monk Dr. Tran more.
Right on. Zen monk. Right
on. Hog enthusiastic as always. But, Matt, man, did you have a good week off?
Yeah. I took the kids, camping. It was hot and, they wanted to go home. But, you know,
like that was unplanned.
Yeah. Man, it's always hot out where we go, but luckily it was breezy.
Did you cut it short or something?
Sort of, just by hours. We always just stay for one night, especially with kids. You know, you never know how they're gonna, you know, feel out there. You know, they're getting older and they like camping a little bit more now, but it's you want to prepare, you know, yourself if there's some bad elements out there. Last time we almost got caught in a flood. Luckily it wasn't that bad, but you know, just one night, just to get them used to it, and do some fishing, some trails, and
all the get boys? The
experience out there. No, just my oldest two, just Jake and Luke. Jake got sick. It was so hot, you know, he wasn't doing a good job keeping hydrated, and I wasn't paying attention to him, seeing if he was drinking. So he got a little heat exhaustion. But he was all right after a few hours. So it's hot out there, man. It's like 2011 again, where it's just dry and hot.
Well, like today, man, I am.
You bring water or soda? What did you bring?
Water, juice, and some mineral water.
That's where you made the mistake. You should have brought Coke. That would have helped with their heat stroke.
Yeah. A little soda.
I keep drinking all this Coca-Cola, but it's not helping me. No.
Like an Idiocracy where they keep giving the plants electrolytes.
It's got what plants crave.
What's that? Electrolytes.
Well, I went to Austin for a few days and saw my new nephew, and he's sweet as can be. He's a baby, of course, so he doesn't do much except poop and pee and eat.
There you go.
But he's a handsome little feller. And, so I did a few things around Austin, took the kids to the Capitol and, you know, just messed around and visited my sister. And talk about the heat on the way back today, because I left about 10 a.m. You know, it wasn't too bad. And I pretty much drove straight through into Giddings till I needed gas. And I got out of the car in Giddings at the Buc-ee's there, and I was like, it's like you couldn't even breathe. It was so hot. I've been inside the vehicle and I stepped out. I'm like, oh my God. It's like your clothes, like, you don't even make sweat. Your clothes just instantly stick to you when it's this hot. Your clothes are just like, you know what? We're just going to stick to you now. That's how freaking hot.
We're going to stick to you now.
And then, it was cool, man. I had a good few days off. I went out to, Lakey the last couple summers and got away for a couple days, but I hadn't gotten away. I hadn't been to Austin since pre-pandemic, so it had been a while. And I used to go two or three times a year. So it had been a while since I'd gone. And, hopefully in the future we can still do our little weekend trip we had planned, which we did not do because of the pandemic still being at its height when we were trying to go. And which worked out in hindsight, because that weekend we had planned on going, remember, I ended up catching the fucking COVID. So, so – there's a reason for everything, but hopefully in time. But other than that, I can't say I'm ready to go back to work, but it is what it is. You know, I don't think you're ever ready.
No, you're not. And then right when you get right up close to it, you're like counting down the days. You're like, oh man, I only have a couple days left. Mm-hmm. Oh man. You know, that fuse is getting shorter.
Yeah. And as much as I enjoy being out of town, it's kind of why I wanted to come home last night, because so you can have two full days at home before you go back. But, I'll take a day and a half. It is what it is. And, but hell, I get another week off like in August. So like 6 weeks away. So it's not that far. So not too bad. But, let's get into the show then officially. Download this, man, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, checked out this week. I went first last week, so I don't have to go first again, even though I actually watched some stuff, even though I was out in town a few days. I actually had some time to watch some stuff, but I'll share in a minute.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
He didn't watch shit other than Obi-Wan.
Actually, no. I paid $30 to watch a live streaming concert. But I didn't the FF14, they have a really, really good music soundtrack, and the game studio behind the MMO, their music director, they also have their own kind of in-studio band that performs some of the pretty cool songs from the game, and they performed it live in Japan since it was like at 3 a.m. our time, but 6 or 7 p.m. in Japan or whatever the next day, their time. I'm like, well, I'll just catch the archive. And it's a really, really good show. Very good performance. I wanted to watch everything and anything. Whatever the hell that fucking
everything title everywhere is. All at once. All at once.
Yeah, I actually bought the movie, but hopefully I'll watch it tomorrow. I'll let you guys know what I think of it. What else did I say? I know I saw something else. Play a little bit of Metroid Dread again. It's a fun game. Fed my fish. Went to a Brazilian steakhouse for the first time today for Houston. Oh, one of the most expensive dinners I ever paid for, but it was well worth it. Three plates of steaks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was pretty gorged.
That's why you're kind of laid back today. Like, your lungs are over fat and happy. Like, yeah, I'm good. Let's just do the show.
Guys. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah. But man, it was really good steak. I went to Gaucho do Sol. That's the one in Vintage Park.
Okay.
Up 249 where we live. Yeah.
Yeah.
About $75 a plate per person.
God damn.
Yeah. Did they always it was worth it though. It was all you can eat steaks. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like I paid so much money on it. I had to mention it.
Fair enough.
It's like, that should count as download this. That's $75 dinner, you know?
You downloaded some steaks in here.
I downloaded it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's definitely a once a year or once every other semi-annual type of a dinner, you know?
Well, sure, man. That kind of stuff, like, you know, you're right. Like I've done a really expensive meal one time. It was when I was still married and we went to this place over near the Montrose area and it was probably $160 for the two of us. But like, I didn't feel guilty because like, it's so unique and so different to eat a really well cooked.
Where did you eat? That was $160.
What was the name of it?
Or what kind of food was it?
It was, it was a mix of different things. We did like a 7-course thing where it was like a sample thing where we had, there was some steak, there was some like Asian stuff. It was different cuisines. God dang, I wish I didn't remember the name of it.
Did the place have a dress code?
The Underground, I think is what it was called, or the Underhill or something like that. Super fancy dress code. Like you could wear Sunday best. I think I just wore jeans and a decent shirt. So it wasn't super fancy, but it was super fancy the way it was cooked and presented expensive. And you're right. Like, I wouldn't do it all the time, but you don't feel guilty when you spend that kind of money on food because you walk away so satisfied because it's such a unique experience to eat like that, and you don't realize what it is. Like some of the higher-end – like, what people consider higher-end restaurants like Papa Do's are good food and stuff, but they're nothing compared to when you go have something really expensive and unique like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And Houston is – definitely in the top three cities for food culture, you know. Definitely one of the best cities to live is if you're a foodie. Can you
definitely
hear me? Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Dang, I wish I could remember that name of that place, but oh well.
Was it Hillstone?
No, it's right at the corner of Montrose and Westheimer. And I actually think it's moved since.
Because I delivered to nothing but restaurants now.
Yeah, it's so literally at the corner. It's, you know, like where the shop is right there, where the Half Price Books was and all that. And then and the corner is like the Indian restaurant. It's literally was like a catty corner to those across the street. And I just can't remember the name of it right now. Anyway, maybe it'll come to me.
All right. Well, I'm done. I download this. I was going to go watch Jurassic World, but I was like, I just don't feel like it for some reason. I had no desire for some reason.
I wanted to. I was kind of pumped. The reviews have, and I normally don't get caught up in reviews, but they've been so bad, it's kind of turned me off on it. All of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? I'll save my money and go see Lightyear next weekend instead.
Yeah. Fallen Kingdom kind of left a bad taste in my mouth in a way.
And that's kind of the vibe I've gotten from reviews of this. They like, the dinosaur stuff's cool, but the rest of it, like, you know, is like, and just like Fallen Kingdom. So,
yeah.
Nice. Matt, I'll allow you to go next, and I'll go before we get into Obi-Wan.
Yeah. I was, you know, kind of browsing, and I've been trying to get the wife to watch a Star Trek film, and Into Darkness was free on Prime. So we watched it, and she was like, wow. She's like, this is really good. And
I just go to Star Trek first because it's better than Into Darkness.
Oh, the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think. Yeah, I guess. I really like Into Darkness, though. I like the, just the callbacks to, you know, some of the other Star Trek films that I guess she didn't get. And I didn't try explaining them because I was like, let me just let her enjoy. Kirk's sacrifice, sure. and of course, Carl Urban's great. Take your pick. I think it's really good. And one day we'll probably do it here. But she enjoyed it, and Jake saw some of it. He came in late, so he saw one of her Spocks trying to hunt down Khan, and he's using the pressure points to try and take him down. And he thought that was cool. He's like, "Oh, those are pressure points." I was like, "Yep." I was like, "That's the only way you're gonna, hurt Khan is affect his nervous system." Yeah. Because he's fucking super soldier.
Oh, I like Into Darkness too. I think though that just something about when Nimoy comes out in his ship at the end of Star Trek and blows Nero away and all that. It's just like that tops it for me because it's such a great moment.
Okay, there's some stuff I like too, like the young Kirk, being rebellious, plan sabotaged, taking the car out for a joyride. You've got his dad's sacrifice at the beginning.
Yeah.
The character, the character developing moments with the bar fight. I thought that, that was pretty cool. And then, Kobayashi Maru, that's a cool part on the first movie. So there's a lot of good elements to the first. It's take your pick, it's 1A, 1B, but, then I'd been wanting to watch American Psycho again, just because something came up, and I think I heard Huey Lewis in the news on my random playlist, and I was like, I want to watch American Psycho.
Sounds a
one and make Jackie watch it. It was a one and done for you.
I am with satires. I really don't really care.
So. Yeah, and it's like I always like the question at the end. Did he do it? Did he not do it? In the book, everyone's so coked up. No one recognizes each other, and so there's a question on, was it just a fantasy or did it really happen? But Jackie was like, "Wow," she's like, "That's movie's out there," and it is. It's a cult following movie, but Christian Bale, of course, he plays his part, and then you've got Jared Leto in it. And I like the business card theme, the Dorcia stuff all the way through, where they're trying to get into Dorcia and everyone just wants to get into Dorcia. It's kind of funny. But other than that, I did watch the first episode of Captain Marvel just because I was like, I'm just going to watch it.
Miss Marvel.
And it's very teenage-y, teenage drama-y.
Like that second Spider-Man movie.
Like the what Spider-Man movie?
The second Spider-Man movie, Far From Home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that, like, kind of high school stuff. And
yeah.
I think they're trying to reach maybe a younger audience, and that's cool. It was okay. I'll probably watch the second episode and see how it goes. But, what else? Oh, Unbearable Weight, Massive Talent. Was debating on either watching that or Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. And I was like, let's watch Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. And it was fun. I thought it'd be a little bit more hammy than it was. It wasn't as, I feel like it was going to be more cagey, more callbacks. There were some callbacks. I'd never seen Guarding Tess. There's a Guarding Tess reference in the film, and wasn't familiar with that film. So I had to look it up. Sorry. But enjoyed it. It's fun. If you want to spend $20 and stream it at home, I think it's worth it. I don't think it's a bad movie. I like how it kind of makes fun of Nick Cage kind of doing all kinds of roles, but, it's fun. Him and Pedro Pascal hit it off. It's believable. you know, that they got some kind of bromance going on. And of course, Kenobi. Watch Kenobi too, like y'all probably did.
How would you score the Cage movie?
I'd say it's a solid B.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, solid B.
I'm not going to spend $20 to rent the Cage movie. I think I read somewhere that Amazon has rights to it, so it should be on Prime within a couple months. I watched the first three episodes of The Boys. I haven't watched the new one yet.
I watched the first two episodes, but it's ridiculous.
Man, the first 10 minutes of the new season are like, I'm no prude at all, but those first 10 minutes might be one of the most fucked up things I've ever seen on a show.
Oh my God.
You have to spoil it.
What?
I don't
care. Okay, the show's been out a week now, so I think it's fair to spoil it.
Dude, tell them what happens. Tell them. Give a fuck. Tell them about the Ant-Man, dude.
What's his name? I can't think of the character's name. They're chasing down a hero named Termite. And Termite is apparently either bisexual or gay. So he goes into a room to pleasure his boyfriend by going inside his penis as a termite.
Oh boy.
And they built a prosthetic penis and they show it. And he goes inside and he had cooked up before he did it. So he seizes and he expands and explodes his lover. And it's fucked up. Even I was like, I shook my head and paused it for a minute. I was like, wait, what?
You know,
he's crawling through his
Mark, head. If this was in the theater, you walk out right now.
Well, I don't think
you usually do.
I don't think I'd walk out because it's like that. It's handled. Well, you have to understand The Boys. Okay. The Boys is it's funny because I don't like satire, but I like satire if it's done like The Boys is. The Boys is satirical on superheroes and what they would probably really be like if they existed. So, like, I expect this, and plus it's written by Garth Ennis, so I expect a certain amount of disgusting humor in it, and that's exactly what The Boys delivers. So I think I expect this from it. And I was less grossed out by that than something that happens in episode 3, which is – it's not even as bloody, but it's just kind of disgusting thing that occurs. But the show's so well written and Carl Urban is so fucking good in it. Actually, most of the actors are really good in it. And that's one thing about The Boys. It's actually an extremely well-acted superhero show. And it feels like everyone's having a lot of fun making this show too. And I think that's what makes it work so well. And it's good stuff. And I really like it. And I didn't like The Boys at first. It took me about a season for it to really grow on me. I thought last season was really good, and this season's starting out really good. So it took a bit. So I'm enjoying it. So I watched that. I watched the first episode of Stranger Things. I haven't got much further in it. It seems like they're definitely trying to make it scarier. But it did feel like they spent an hour and 15 minutes to redevelop the characters for 5 minutes of action at the end. And I was like, we've already met all these characters. And then they introduced like two new ones. It's like, why do we need all these reintroductions? Because that's really what the first episode felt like.
Yeah.
Because it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
And admittedly, I've already forgotten who they are.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. And then I started watching, because it's one of those classic animes I've never watched. I know Long, you've talked about before. I started watching Neon Genesis Evangelion, and about four episodes in, and I really like it. Really well done. Interesting. I like the fact that it's kind of letting the story unfold. It's not explaining everything. You have a lot of questions three or four episodes in, but yet it's slowly giving you answers. I was reading about how to watch it because I guess there's 26 episodes, and then they kind of conclude it with like three or four movies, and a couple of the movies kind of retell elements of the show and re-explain things because fans weren't happy with like the last couple of episodes. So they were saying like you could almost skip the last two episodes and watch the movie and it'll explain the last two episodes.
Yeah, don't skip it.
I mean, they're only 20 minutes.
Yeah. Whoever wrote that article is full of shit.
And they're all on Netflix. So, they're all available to watch. I think even the new movie that came out last year is on Netflix.
It's on Amazon Prime, the latest one.
Okay. But I think the other three movies are on Netflix because I think there's four movies total.
Yeah, the most recent ones are on Amazon Prime, the rebuild of Evangelion. And then the original two movies are on Netflix.
Okay.
The two concluding movies. Yeah. The those two movies are big FUs to fans from the director. Just to give you a heads up on the context of why those movies were created. The original two Ava movies.
Yeah. But I like it, man. It's good. I mean, I expect it to be good because it's very popular, so I figured it would be. And I'm enjoying that so far. And I don't think I watched any films this week, though. I don't remember recall watching any. No films this week that I can remember other than the movie that we're doing on the show. Obi-Wan, man. I did watch Obi-Wan Kenobi, as I know you guys did, too. I watched it Wednesday morning before I took off out of town, before my bit of car trouble. And I actually got the kids up because they're all packed. I was like, we're going to watch Obi-Wan before we leave. And the boys were down with that. You know, they were like, okay. This is a good episode. It's been a few days since I watched it. I'm trying to recall back to what occurred. But we see Obi show up on this Inquisitor base, essentially, with what's her name to try to save Leia. And it looks like Obi's starting to come back around a little bit, you know, get in touch with the Force and doing his thing and swinging his lightsaber around. I really like the scene in the dark where he takes out the stormtroopers. That was cool. Well shot. The trench coat thing was a little like, come on, really? No one saw that. I mean, but I feel like it's kind of a throwback to where A New Hope and they're walking this giant Wookiee around and no one really questioned them, even though they were disguised as stormtroopers. Cause I always, even as a kid, I always thought that's kind of silly, you know, but I think you forgive Star Wars for moments like that. I think it's fair to say, oh, okay, I'll buy it. Sure. You know? I really thought Darth Vader was going to rip Reva in half when he got pissed off at her. And then she saved herself by placing a tracker in Lola. And that made me very angry. I was like, God damn it, this bitch keeps fucking shit up. you know, she, as much as I didn't care for her performance to begin with, she's playing a good villain. You got to love the hater. You know, I'll give her credit for that. She may not be the best well-written character at times, but she's playing the part well. You love the hater. At this point, you're hoping that, you know, I mean, this bitch was going to torture Leia. That's fucking evil. You know? Yeah. So, yeah. What did you guys think about it, man?
Yeah. Not all. She's brutal. She'll do whatever. Yeah, she'll do whatever she wants to get her a position of power.
It's all right.
It's all right.
I thought the scene where Obi-Wan ran into the Tomb of Jedis was pretty dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The trench coat thing, I didn't really think much of it, really. I was like, I mean, Star Wars has its cheesy moments. Right. So I was like, yeah, whatever. It's not Ewoks bad. So. or Jar Jar bad. It's just,
yeah. And I didn't think much of
it. It's just a middling episode, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't see a whole lot of Vader in this one. Just kind of towards the end, when he shows up on the thing. I thought it was kind of cool. Like the Inquisitors have their own base in the middle of water, way away from Darth. It's still in Darth Vader's system. I thought that was kind of cool. I always like it when they tell stories that expand the Star Wars universe a little bit more. I still think Ewan continues to just be really great in this show. You know, there's, it's so good that in fact, there's been some rumors that Disney might consider a second, season or a second chapter to this with six more episodes. Yeah,
it is their biggest streaming show ever. So
it's been a huge hit. I mean, did they expect it to be anything less? I mean, because it's a super popular character. There's a lot of love coming back around for the prequels. I do question what Hayden Christensen exactly does, because there's two stuntmen working for him. One does the fights and one does like sitting and standing sequences. So I'm like, what does Hayden do? You know, even though he's been doing training.
Hayden. He does the Force choke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, who else is going to do that?
Right.
You know,
And there's a touching moment, you know, where Leia holds Obi-Wan's hand.
Yeah.
That's a great moment.
I continue to love that dynamic, and people on the internet question, like, well, how come she doesn't remember Obi-Wan late years later when she does the formal address, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you served my father? Well, I always took that. I look at it as that she was just being a princess. She was being a general herself. And I had no problem with her being formal, because later on in the movie, she says, you're with Ben Kenobi. So I think it is clued in that maybe she knew who he was or remembered him, you know? And I'm okay with that.
I talked to my cousin, and my cousin, he's my uncle Ted's son, you know? So Ted, the guy, my uncle who introduced me to Star Wars, you've met him, huge Star Wars fan. He obviously raised him as a big Star Wars fan. And he's like, with Obi-Wan, you know, and Leia, or Obi-Wan meeting Vader, that kind of spoils it for, you know, doesn't that ruin it for, you know, the A New Hope? And I was like, well, you could just, you know, because he's like, oh, it's kind of like they haven't seen each other the whole time. I said, not necessarily. I said, it's kind of, you can kind of interpret it as a villain's monologue, you know, just your typical villain's monologue of, you know, when I first met you, I was but the learner, but now I'm the master. It's like, you don't have to interpret it as they've never seen each other.
She's also 10 years old, too. I mean, yeah. You know, maybe she doesn't remember everything. You know, 10-year-olds might not always remember that stuff. And I have no problem with it. I mean, she named her kid Ben, so it must have been important to her, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's fine, you know? I'm really enjoying the show. I'm kind of upset that we only have a couple episodes left, to be honest, you know?
For real.
Because I'm really liking it. It's probably I do enjoy The Mandalorian, but this there's just something about this show. It might be my favorite Star Wars show we've gotten so far. And maybe it's the familiarity of it, you know, I don't know. But I'm really enjoying it. Two more to go, so we'll see.
Yeah. Two more, man.
Any other thoughts? I think that's all I got on Obi-Wan, if anybody else has anything. So
no.
Left out. But cool. Let's get into today's featured film, a 1990 film that was not super successful at the box office, but this movie found a love through cable television and VHS. Man, this movie made a shit ton of money on VHS rentals and VHS sales at the height of VHS in the early 90s. And that is Tremors, starring Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward, and Reba McEntire's first on-screen appearance in any kind of film or show. This movie, you know, initially Kevin Bacon and all of the cast really kind of hated it. They didn't like filming out in the desert. It was hot and miserable. All these sets were built, and they had to be bussed in every day to from their hotels and things like that. And then, of course, once it became a cult classic, Kevin Bacon came around and saying it was probably the most fun he ever had making a movie. Funny how that works out as he started to appreciate
it. He did admit he had nightmares about those worms.
And this is a movie that I mean, I summarized a couple weeks ago in a row. Long, you want to give this a quick summary? This feels like a long summary.
Yeah, movie. Sure. Yeah, sure. Some mysterious seismic events happen around the Death Valley, and a couple of people start disappearing. And two of our main characters, I already forgot their name.
Val and
so generic in a way.
Yeah, Val and Earl.
Oh, Val and Earl, yeah. So. Yeah, they go about checking some errands on people while they went missing, and they start coming across some bodies. But anyways, this is actually a pretty simple plot.
Yeah,
they're trying to stay alive with the townsfolk because some giant or elephant-sized sandworms are hunting them, and that's the premise of the story.
Basically, it's a good old monster yarn, so to speak.
A creature feature.
Yeah, a creature feature, which the studio wanted to try to sell as a murder horror film at first. They wanted audiences to think that a person was killing people at first. And And then the director was like, no, we have to sell this as a monster film. So they went in and refilmed a couple of the early scenes where the people were disappearing, especially the scene with the doctor and his wife where the worm takes the car down and everything, because they wanted people in it. They wanted it to be sold as a monster film, not as a horror murder film, which is probably a good idea because I think it works better selling as a monster film, for sure. You know, this is one of those movies that I remember just growing up watching in, and probably saw it on video or TV for the first time. And, you know, rewatching it this week, this is probably up there on that top 50 list of movies that I have that, man, you can watch anytime and kind of just enjoy it. It never gets old watching it. It never gets boring. It's a quick watch, hour and a half, you know, and it's highly entertaining. I mean, Val and Earl are cool characters that are fun to watch. You know, there's some silliness to it, you know, where the one worm is caught in the ditchway and I found the ass end. And then he's like, he gives him a big F you, you know, he's like, we're smarter than you. And Val and Earl's banter back and forth makes the movie there. It's kind of a buddy movie in that sense between those two guys with the townsfolk around them. The guy, the actor played Egg Shin in, Victor Wong, Big Trouble in China. Yeah. He's in it and has some good lines. I think it's hilarious how they find when they first get their truck stuck and the worm's tongue gets caught on it. And he's all like, I'll give you $5 for it. We got this scientific discovery. Yeah. He's selling him this fucking worm tongue. That's absolutely hilarious. Yeah. And it's just a good, fun monster flick. That's kind of some of my early memories of Tremors.
I always seen this movie bits and pieces throughout, you know, and I always stick around to watch the last 30 minutes of it.
Yeah.
It feels like it's one of those movies that's on TV a lot and you catch it in the middle, you catch it at the end, you catch it at different parts and, you know, maybe it's on, but you don't watch it all the way through. I remember watching it with my cousin whenever we were little and thinking it was just good old fun. You know, a fun horror flick. I like whenever the worm, the graboid, comes out the cliff. It looks like someone just plopped a friggin' turd out and it just crashes down.
And this movie was originally rated R for language. Yeah, because it's not an ultra-violent movie or something. There's a lot of dubs in the film that you can't really tell because they did a good job. They called the actors back in, like words like mother humper were originally motherfucker.
Yeah.
They had to scale back a lot of the F words in the original film. I thought that was kind of funny. And I read that before I rewatched it. Then I start paying attention to it. I'm like, oh yeah, you can kind of hear that's a dub over, because they wanted to sell this as a PG-13 monster movie. The graboids were originally supposed to have a lot more special effects to them, like almost an outer shell with a worm that came out. But the cast thought that the original concept looked funny, almost like a penis, and they were all laughing. So they scrapped that idea to make them look more worm-like. They were going to have them make more weird sounds and stuff and do some strange things to lure prey. But they really, it just came down to budget and simplifying it, and they did away with a lot of that stuff. You know, to keep the movie more simple. The actors were all cast through open auditions, which is pretty rare for a studio film, because a lot of times a studio film will, you know, ask main actors to take these parts and then they fill in the other roles. Bill Paxton was almost in this movie.
he would have been great, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, he would have been good in this one.
Yeah.
But, Fred Ward is... pretty good.
Fred Ward's great. They really wanted Jack Palance to play old Earl, but the director was so afraid and intimidated by Jack Palance, he never got around to calling him. And he says it was one thing he regretted in his career. He's like, man, I should have called him. that was funny. Michael Gross, of course, who plays Bert, and he's got this huge hideout. He's living out in the desert waiting for like World War III to happen with all his food and weapons and everything. And he's the only star of Tremors to it. I think he's appeared in all of them because there's been several I think there's 9 films total. And there was a 30th anniversary celebration at the site where the movie was made a couple years ago. And he was the only actor that showed up. You know, which I guess, hey, he's made a career off this movie after doing Family Ties. And now he's done Tremors for the rest of his career. And that's okay.
In Tremors 3, the Tremors evolve. And they're called ass blasters. That's how ridiculous it gets. Because, you know, after this first one, they're all geared towards made for TV. The second one probably could have been a theatrical release.
The second one's the only one I've seen. I remember that one not being too bad. That one's watchable. Yeah. But I think after that, they get pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, they hired a decent CGI company. That's where the Tremors can go above ground. This one, they literally, they're like giant mosquitoes. And they fire an explosive burst from their butt, and then they can explode around their prey and take you out. And they call them ass blasters in the movie. So, and then the cover for that film looks like a bad Photoshop.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny, but it's amazing how the film, you know, worked, you know, after. You know, Kevin Bacon and a lot of others thinking it was going to be a flop, and home video saved it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it made a decent movie and decent money in theaters, I believe. Made most of its money back.
Yeah, it just wasn't a huge hit, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me see. I have IMDb pulled up here. It made... Its budget was $11 million. It made $16 million, so not terrible, you know.
Wow.
So it did okay. There was also, this movie was no stranger to cut scenes either. There was a lady named Viola that was supposed to appear in the film. She was a hateful lady that lived in town and complained about everything. And she was killed off early in the film. No word as to why it was cut or anything. And or what happened to the scene. The scene apparently doesn't appear on any DVDs or Blu-rays or nothing. So perhaps the footage just didn't come out bad and no one saved the footage. So the movie was going to be a little bit longer, but they wanted it to be a tighter for time and making a more fast-paced monster film. The 1989 GMC that Burt rides was Michael Gross's personal vehicle. So they saved some money by him using his own vehicle in the film. Despite all the direct-to-DVD movies this Tremors has made, this is actually the shortest film, and it's the one that started it all and the most popular one. So that was kind of funny.
Thought it was interesting how the director got the idea, or the writer got the idea, and he imagined if he had to hop from rock to rock and not get eaten by a giant being that was underneath the sand. And that's where he came up with the idea. Of course, they had to make sure these things didn't look similar to the sandworms from Dune. That was their biggest fear, I guess. That's why they have all those tentacles that come out of their mouths.
Right. And they wanted him to not be, at first they tried to make him look kind of slimier, but they said the effect didn't look right on things. They kind of made him look partly slimy, part dirty. So they kind of changed that. Cause they looked like they had nail polish on, I guess, whenever they did test screening. I thought it was interesting. I thought Reba McEntire had done some acting in the 80s, but I guess this was her first role. I know she went on to have a TV show and do some things like that. And
I remember her in Little Rascals.
Yeah.
She sang the song at the ending credits.
I remember that. And did you know that the sounds from the Graboids have become reused in many other films? They were used in Predator 2, Starship Troopers, Kong Skull Island even used the sound of the Graboids in 2017.
Wow.
That's kind of cool. They did not leave this set up because they didn't know if the movie was going to be successful. So if you go to Long Pine, California, there's nothing there to visit. And they said that was a regret. They feel like the movie became such a cult classic, they wish they would have left the buildings they built up. But they tore them all down, so... Don't go to Long Pine, California, because you will not see anything. Not very exciting. And, I want to talk a little bit about Fred Ward. I think this movie works really well because of Val and Earl and Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward. And Fred Ward, was well known for the right stuff, you know, the astronaut movie, and he went on to have a great career as a character actor. And I think most people remember him from either this film or the right stuff. And watching it this week, man, the guy had a lot of charisma. He every now and then you come across an actor that you feel like could have been a bigger star. And that's kind of how I feel about, Ward. It just feels like he could have been a bigger star, but he still gave us some great films. And, you know, he passed away recently, but we have some good stuff he's done to remember him by. And I really like him in this movie. I think he's a lot of fun. Didn't he come back and appear in one of the sequels?
I could be wrong. Second one.
I don't know. He was in the second one. That's right.
I know he was in a sequel to Naked Gun.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew he was in Naked Gun.
And he was also The Adventures of Remo Williams.
Yeah.
I remember that TV show.
It's not a TV show. It's the movie.
Was it a movie, Remo Williams?
Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't blame you for not knowing it. I caught that movie once. It was a 1985 movie, and I was like, what a weird movie.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard of it. I know it's kind of considered bizarre and weird. But hats off to Burt Ward, man. This is an enjoyable film, and we always have Tremors to watch. And, you know, and him and Kevin Bacon really good in it. And it's funny, Kevin Bacon, like I said earlier, he hated filming this and even broke down to his pregnant wife at the time that I couldn't believe my career is going from, you know, being the success he had to making movies about giant worms. But then he ended up, like I said, he came around to it later on and realized that it's fun. And once he met fans that really enjoyed the movie, he's like, oh, okay. So I guess it wasn't so bad, you know? And that's okay. You know, we've talked about that, in the show before, you know, like the great John Lithgow, you know, think about how many movies this guy has done. And his favorite movie he's ever made was Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai, you know? And that guy's done a lot of great stuff. So, you know, sometimes you come around to things that are obscure and weird, and they end up being maybe the most fun thing you've done. And Kevin Bacon, I think, can kind of realize that. You know, a little known fact is there was a pilot film for a few years ago for Amazon for Tremors. And Kevin and Fred Ward actually appear in the pilot in cameos, but the pilot got scrapped and it's never been released anywhere. You know, imagine one day a bootleg will show up. Amazon never picked it up, the series. So, Tremors almost became a TV show, just a few years back. So that's kind of interesting.
Very short lived.
I kind of remember hearing about that now. I forgot about it until this week, but I kind of remember rumblings about a Tremors television show but it was never meant to be. But yeah, you know, it's just a fun monster romp. It's one of those movies that I think maybe has some nostalgia behind it. But I think watching this week, I think it still holds up pretty well. My boys were watching with me, and they were kind of oohing and on and laughing at the stuff. You know, they were kind of enjoying it, and I think that's a sign that it still holds up well. It's not, you know, because I have put on some nostalgic flicks, and the kids are like, yeah, whatever. But this one, they sat and watched and kind of enjoyed it. So I think that's a good sign that Tremors is a fun movie that can stand the test of time.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that the friggin' prepper couldn't take him down with all of his firearms. He's got a wall full of guns. And then he's like, let me grab this friggin' old school 10-gauge Magnum double barrel shotgun and blow this thing away. They start hiding underneath the ground.
Yeah, but I always thought the part that where he's shooting into the ground was even weird. I'm like, I'm not even a gun guy, and I'm like watching that. I've always thought that scene was like, his wife's like, you're not going to get penetration to the ground. Even I'm sitting there going, like, why is he even trying that? It's like,
trying to go through freaking concrete, hoping that it's also going to go through that.
But a fun movie, man. Maybe for nostalgia reasons, I give this a solid A minus. I think it's a fun movie, and it holds up well.
Yeah, I give the B movie a B plus. It's a B movie.
Yeah, I give it a B.
But it wasn't even intended as a B movie. You know, this was a studio flick that was expected to, do well, and it did it. I didn't even look to see what it went up against. I feel like there's probably a reason behind, you know, because the critics weren't mean to this movie. Critics generally thought it was a fun movie. Maybe it was just bad timing when it came out. But who knows? You know. But I enjoyed
it. Good question.
So long. Did you actually watch it all the way through long yet?
No, for some reason, I still continue the tradition. I still watch bits and pieces here and there. No, it's just, as a kid and even now, my favorite scene is the shootout in the basement with the wall of guns, of course, you know. It's a good novelty movie.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's got the annoying character Melvin that you hope the Graboids get him. He's kind of annoying.
Right.
It's a good novelty movie. It's fun to watch and still enjoyable to this day. Because it was
on Edward Scissorhands.
So maybe that's what it went up.
Misery, Goodfellas, Dances with Wolves.
It came out the same weekend as all those? Wow.
Well, they're all January.
So no wonder it got lost in the shuffle, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And that makes a lot of sense then. It found a home on VHS.
What a year overall, 1990 though. You take your pick at Total Recall, Days of Thunder, Kindergarten Cop, Pretty Woman, The Hunt for Red October, Dick Tracy.
Yep.
Man.
Good movies.
Yeah, man. Back to the Future 3. I know you take it or leave it, but it's Back to the Future, baby.
All right.
It's a solid movie. It's not a bad movie at all.
Well, let's do some news then. There's no sub-feature this week since I've been out of town. We'll have something next week. But we got some news to talk about. We mentioned earlier that Spider-Man's 60th anniversary is this year, so Marvel or Sony is putting No Way Home back in theaters in Labor Day weekend with a – they're calling it an extended cut. No one's saying what it is, but Toby and Andrew Garfield have all confirmed that there was more footage filmed. So I imagine there's going to be more stuff with the three Spider-Mans. I didn't notice. I guess in one of the trailers there's a shot where Toby is seen going head-to-head with the Green Goblin more directly. That's not in the original film. So people think maybe that was a deleted scene. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not going to go back to the theaters and see it, not for a few minutes. You know, I can wait and watch it digitally later or something. I felt the movie had enough in it. I don't feel it needed a extended cut. But, you know, people like money, especially movie theaters and movie studios. So they want to make more money, right? I mean, that's essentially what this is, kind of a cash grab. So we'll see.
I have a question. Yeah. That reminds me of something. Like a couple of weeks, I forgot to bring this up, but what's the deal with this whole meme on Morbin time? What the hell is all that about?
Not really sure either, to be honest. Long. I started seeing
it. Have you heard about it?
I started seeing it pop up too. I guess there was, a internet movement to try to get Morbius trending since the movie. Morbius feels like it's already become one of those movies that, even though it didn't do well and no one liked it, it feels like they're trying to make it a cult classic. So it seems like there was an internet movement for it that pushed it enough to get a 1 weekend re-release back in theaters. And it still didn't make any money. So my guess is that's where it's coming from, this kind of internet movement. Yeah.
Matt, have either one of y'all seen Morbius?
Seen it. But you know, Jared Leto has hardcore fans that really follow his career. So I think it's a combo of that and this internet movement. You know,
You've seen it?
There's a lot of people believe that organization Leto runs is like a cult. So he has some hardcore fans. So
yeah.
Apparently, it was started on November 2nd, 2021. By user Tales to Enrage. And it's Morbin time stuck based off of, I guess, a certain point in the film whenever he transforms into the vampire. it's morphin' time. Yeah. You know, like Power
Rangers. My roommate saw the movie. He said he never said it in the film. Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things, like, if it hits a streaming service, I might watch it out of curiosity, but I'm not in no hurry to see it, you know, obviously. I do think that Morbius could be a good character and could be used as a good villain, but I never felt he needed his own movie, you know?
Him and Gambit.
And they even, I guess Marvel, I feel like they used the, you know, the theories in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness to kind of undo that scene at the end of Morbius, which I'm sure a lot of people have seen, the leaked scene at least, where Vulture and, you know, sees Morbius and he's like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing here, but it's something about Spider-Man. Like, you know, somehow they came into the same universe. Maybe you thought they were trying to, you know, start the Sinister Six. And then in Multiverse of Madness, if someone is somewhere like in another universe longer than they're supposed to be, or longer than a certain amount of time, an incursion occurs and that universe is destroyed. So I think it was a way of Marvel saying, no, Sony, that's, you know, that's enough of that. And that universe is, boom, it's no longer existed because, you know, that character incurred with that character.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. Couple of quick notes before we talk some trailers. The Boys is renewed for season 4. We talked about earlier. So you can continue to invest in it. We will get more. Masters of the Universe finally announced that there is going to be a second season or a sequel to the Kevin Smith one. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. The new season is going to be called Revolution. I'm excited about that. I really actually really enjoyed the Masters of the Universe that he did, so I'm glad we're getting more. And they were kind of on the fence about it for a while, so they finally announced it. The Joker is getting a sequel. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why either.
The movie wasn't – I didn't like the movie. I've talked about it before. I don't feel I need – I appreciated Joaquin's performance, but I didn't care for the film. I don't want to see more. I think that'll be a pass for me. Just not really a lot of interest for me on that one. Marvel, you know, we know they've been setting the seeds for this already, but it's confirmed they're working on a Thunderbolts movie with Jake Schreier as the director. This guy hasn't done much. He's mostly a music video director, but it's hard to argue with Marvel. They seem to have a good job. Kevin Feige seems to pick the right ones, but the setup's been there. You know, we know from Alana, or not, is her name Alana, Black Widow's sister? I probably said.
Oh, yeah.
Elena. Elena, U.S. agent, Taskmaster. We know they've been setting the seeds for this, so it's not something hard they can set up. Of course, you know, William Hurt died, but I don't think I think it's okay to recast Thunderbolt Ross. I don't have a problem with that. So, you know, it's going to be fun. You know, Thunderbolts is an extremely popular comic book series and popular team. So I think this is something we knew was coming. They were setting up for it. So we're going to get a Thunderbolts movie in the next couple of years. Actually, I think they want to try to have it in theaters sometime next year. So I think they're trying to move pretty quick on this thing, get casting going. And well, casting's already there if you see some of these characters. So
yeah,
I think that's pretty cool. The annual Ghostbusters Day the other day, they finally announced, which we already knew, that Jason Reitman is working on the sequel to Afterlife, and it will take place back in New York City, back where the original all began. As was alluded to by the end of the film, where we saw the Ecto-1 going back into the city, and Winston owns the Ghostbuster Firehouse. So I'm cool with that. I think this is a cool franchise, and I enjoy Afterlife enough that I don't mind more Ghostbusters at all. And but that's not all. We're also going to get a new animated series on Netflix, and Reitman and his team are producing it, so they are hands-on with this. And an animated Ghostbusters film with all new characters, also going to Netflix. So, I talked about this before. I always felt that this was a franchise that had a lot of potential. And it would have been nice to have seen that potential in the 90s when all the actors were still alive and wanting to do stuff, but they weren't all getting along back then. But that's okay. 20 years later, we're going to get the franchise I think that Ghostbusters fans always deserve, hopefully. And I think it's in good hands with Jason Reitman, and we'll see what they continue to do with it. I know you guys are big fans of Ghostbusters too, so
Yeah. We'll see what comes of it, man. But it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
You're right, Matt. No one else in this world could stack books like that. No. I had to quote the first Ghostbusters movie.
We got some trailers this week. Let's start with the trailer for Prey on Hulu, the new Predator film from Dan Trachtenberg. I know you think Hulu's evil, but let's not get into that. I kind of wish the movie was in theaters because not that I know when I'd go see it, being a rated R film with kids and stuff.
Hey, if you guys to watch it, spoil it for me. I don't care.
I like what I look at the trailer, other than I'm wondering how Comanches are going to be able to take out a Predator. And I know, Matt, you're smart ass text there. Well, they could cover themselves in mud and do like Arnold. Someone else said that online already, so your joke wasn't that funny. But I'm just
I didn't see it.
I don't think it was meant to be a joke.
Oh, no.
I thought Matt was
seriously how you take him out.
I sit with
bows and arrows.
So we'll see, man. I'm down for Predator no matter what. I even made it through that last one that was terrible, and I'll still watch this one. This one definitely looks better than that last one just from the trailer. So
yeah.
So I'll watch it. I'm kind of excited for this. It comes out August 5th. We got the first trailer for the Sandman adaptation on Netflix. I don't know if you guys watched it, but I've never read the books, but I've always been really curious about them. And I'll take that back. I've read the first volume, and it's extremely well written by Neil Gaiman. And he's hands on producing this. He's trying to make sure it's done a faithful adaptation of his comics. And the trailer sold me. I thought it looked great. You know, and I hope it's good. It looks great. Did you guys check out the trailer or not? Fucking slackers.
For the Sandman?
Yeah.
No.
Based on the very popular graphic novels.
I unsubbed from Netflix, so I had no reason to watch it. But Stranger Things 4, I'm hearing good things. I may just sub for 1 month just to
Heck yeah, man.
Or just wait till August till the Sandman comes out. Watch them all at once. Yeah. Well, then the second half of Stranger Things season 4 will be out by then too.
Yeah.
Lastly, we got the first trailer. It feels like The Rock has been talking about this movie for like 6 years, which he basically has. We got the first trailer for Black Adam. And my initial thoughts on the trailer was like,
you say 6 years or 16.
Yeah, right.
It is literally 16 years.
Well, the original script for Shazam was supposed to be Black Adam was the villain. But then The Rock convinced the studio to separate it and make a separate movie. And then I guess at this point in Shazam 3, we're going to get Shazam versus Black Adam. And my initial thought on the trailer was like, it looks cool, but I was more interested in like, whoa, that's Dr. Fate. And whoa, that's Hawkman. That was cooler to me than Black Adam. Just to see a live action Hawkman on screen was pretty fucking cool. And I didn't realize Pierce Bronson's playing Dr. Fate. And early word from the script, people have seen the script say that Dr. Fate steals the show, at least on script form. So, we'll see.
Of course. It's Pierce fucking Brosnan.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. 007.
And the thing is, The Rock, you know, my thing is he talks up his films and stuff, and he's been talking this up for years, and what if it sucks? So I feel like there's a lot riding on this, like it really needs to be good, and I hope it is. It looks good. I mean, it looks like they spent a lot of money on it, and it looks really good on screen. So we'll see. When is that? Does that come out? Is it like a November release? I know they keep moving all these freaking movies around. It's hard to remember when they get moved to. Let's see real quick. October 21st. Okay, so close to November. If it doesn't get moved again. But I don't think it's going to get moved again. From what I was reading, Top Gun Maverick has almost made $400 million domestically. Jurassic World's on its way to $150 this weekend. And then Lightyear comes out next week. A couple weeks after that's Thor. I think the box office is back. I think it's safe to say. So,
yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. I read somewhere that Lightyear is already trending for $100 million opening too. So, you know, you're getting three major tentpole films back to back, open $100 million. People are going back to the movies. That's for sure. So
that, and the fact that people don't want to spend the money on high gas prices.
Exactly.
For traveling. Let's go watch a movie instead.
Cheaper to go to the movies. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Let's,
preview next week's film.
That's my theory. Out of here.
Yeah, exactly. A little tongue in cheek from us, I guess. After the happenings of the Johnny Depp trial recently, we're like, maybe we should do a Johnny Depp movie, and but we're not going to pick an obvious one. We're going to do one that we a sequel to a movie we've already covered. So it felt like I don't know. I kind of like this movie. I rewatched it already to get ready for talking about next week. It's on Netflix. And that is Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
I never heard of him.
Who?
The man you recommended.
The man is a myth, a legend. And if he's still living, he's the one you want. That make you nervous?
No.
A renegade agent playing both sides.
I work for the CIA.
Mexico is my beat, and I'm walking it.
Is out to find the outlaw who became a legend.
I need you to kill the man. He's being paid to kill the president.
So why me?
Well, frankly, because you've got nothing to live for.
What's wrong?
Everything.
Oh, yeah. It might get a wee bit dangerous.
You want to know the secret to winning? One has to rig the game.
This is a setup.
He's about to discover that legends...
I'm here for my guitar.
I didn't think you'd ever come back for this thing.
Neither did I.
Play by their own rules.
And I guess I have no choice but to kill you all.
Time to get messy.
Time in Mexico.
Are you still standing?
Still.
I'm always down for a Robert Rodriguez film. I actually like his stuff. This movie is a bit convoluted and messy at times, but there's just something between Danny Trejo and Johnny Depp and Antonio Banderas in this film. They make it work. There's a really weird kind of performance from William Dafoe in it, but
yeah,
it all comes together. A nice little action package. And it's enjoyable. Eva Mendes is in it. Yeah. I know Matt, she's a favorite of Matt's. She's come up on the show before. So that'll be next week on the show. Once Upon a Time in Mexico. That's it, man. Thank you guys as always for listening. The 300th episode has been, you guys are listening to it. It's playing very well. So thank you for those listens and downloads. And as always, the rebelradiopodcast.com is where you can go for all your rebel radio needs, and, continue to stay safe out there, and, enjoy the good stuff on Netflix Prime and all these movies out right now, as we're getting back to some normalcy with cinema and things. But as always, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long.
Remember, as always, just go there and do it.